is room for everyone, and the good earth rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little.
I'm really interested in listening to that song, but anyway, this is Deanna Spingola. You are listening to The Corporation Nation, usually hosted by the one and only Clint Richardson, for whom I am subbing tonight and tomorrow night. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com and, of course, the CorporationNation.com. I invite you to visit my chat room tonight. I know that there's going to be some of my regular listeners there, and that is spingola.chatango.com. All righty. Our guest today, or tonight, is Dennis Wise. He will also be joining us tomorrow evening. He is also known as Truth Will Out. He is the producer of the very popular, lengthy video, wonderful, comprehensive video titled Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. You all right?
Are you there?
Hello, yes.
Yes, hello, hello. It's so nice to have you on the program and to talk with you again.
It's great to be here, thanks.
Well, and we get to have you for two evenings in a row, and because there's so many things that that we'd like to have you share with us. Now, the greatest story never told, you put it all together into it was series, and it was, you have to look at each part, and I think the parts got up to 35 or 36, and then you put it all together, and I heard nothing but raves and wonderful things about it. And, of course, I've watched it several times. I watched it again about a week ago. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's great to hear. Certainly, I've been looking at some emails only tonight because I was a little bit ill during the week.
But I'm
okay now. The email always picked me up anyway. I get some wonderful emails from all around the world explaining to me how it's affected everybody, and not just the people who write, but the families as well. And it's really uplifting, really good.
Indeed. Well, the owner of RBN, John Stattmiller, called me, it must be 2 months ago already, and he said that he'd had several callers into his program, and he said that they recommended that he watch your movie. And before that, he said he really didn't understand exactly Hitler's position in history, and like so many millions of other people, had some very negative views about him, and he stayed up all night and watched the movie, and I think he was duly impressed by it, and as I'm sure everyone else is, because when you watch the movie, the way you've put the music together and everything, it's just so skilled, so brilliant, that it's just very impactful for anybody that watches it. And you find yourself crying through it. You find yourself, it's just emotionally impactful, powerful, truthful. I can't say enough good things about it.
Well, it's one or two comments sometimes get over our emails. People saying that when they're at school, they never really took any notice of history lessons or World War II, but since they've watched this this movie, that they're just totally enraptured in how the events all unfolded, and as you say, how Hitler was demonized wrongly, and at the end of it all, if at the very least people are educated, hopefully.
Yes, And that is really important. And he has been demonized, but not only has he been demonized, but the whole country of Germany has been demonized. And the bankers said, Bernard Baruch said, that it wasn't just Hitler they were going to get. They were going to get all the Germans because they are the ones that that supported Hitler, and they were just as evil, people say.
Mm. Well, I think Hitler educated the German people, and I think is one of the reasons why the war went to the very end, where I think most Germans knew exactly what the situation was and why they were fighting, where I don't believe that was the case with the Allies. I do believe a lot were propagandized, especially the Americans. Well, mainly people outside of mainland Europe, to be honest. Because in them days, there was no internet. I think Putin finds himself a little bit luckier these days with a lot more information being passed around. But in them days, mainland Europe would have been total lockdown. The Rothschilds had all the media and would only allow out what they wanted or what they made up. So a lot of people would have gone over to Germany hoping to kill this monster and liberate the German people, when all the while the monster was coming from the east and causing all kinds of mayhem.
Right. And of course, aided and abetted by England, France, and the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All three Masonic countries.
Yes. So Germany was literally surrounded and had to fight a war on both sides. Had to fight in the east, had to fight in the west. And it's amazing that they were able to be as successful as they were. And it's because of it wasn't because they were super militarized. They didn't have the ammunition, they didn't have the tanks, they didn't have all of the war making machinery, and so it was just brilliant the way that they were able to use what they did have and to be as successful as they were.
Well, so brilliant as you emphasize, that even today people are reading stories and watching videos about help from aliens.
Yes.
That's just how brilliant it was.
Yes. There was a question that came up prior to the program, and you did mention it in the movie. There are a lot of claims, mainly from one particular gentleman, that state that Hitler escaped all of the end. He escaped and he went to Argentina, and that he did not commit suicide with his wife Eva Braun in the bunker, but they both escaped and they went to Argentina. Now, you did mention it in the movie. You didn't actually say what your opinion was. Would you care to share what your opinion is, or based
sure.
on what you have discovered and revealed about Hitler?
Well, I felt, because of the uncertainty of it all, and a lot of people today genuinely believe that he did escape, and had no means of proving it, that that's why I mentioned it. Even today, some people think or believe that he escaped. But my own personal opinion is that going off his state of health at the time and the hopelessness of the situation, if he was maybe 23, 24, it could have been a different ballgame, where he could have moved abroad somewhere, possibly restarted again. But even that is clutching. So when he's at the age he was and in the condition he was, and injured recently from the bomb blast, and then his statement that he was prepared to die in Berlin convinces myself and many others that that is where he actually died. Now, how he died is maybe another question. I mean, some people believe that he did commit suicide. Other people believe died fighting the Russians outside. But the point is, it's like any name such as Adolf Hitler or Elvis Presley, there is always going to be myths around these legendary names, and it'll go on till the end of time, and there's nothing you can do about it. But my own personal opinion is that he did die. I feel he committed suicide, because he often required one or two of his officers who didn't obey, such as Paulus in Stalingrad, where he requested that he take a soldier's death and commit suicide. So I think Hitler would have looked at it as a soldier's death, and especially after the way that Mussolini and his mistress Clara was treated so badly when they were captured alive. So
right.
It's a roundabout answer, but I believe that he did die in Berlin, and I believe he would have committed suicide.
Right. Yeah. I guess they hung Mussolini upside down and in the public square, and
well, before that even, I mean, there's some evidence that he was tortured and she was raped, even today with digital means and experiments. I mentioned that in the documentary, and quote the place where they did all the tests, and they've worked out that he wasn't clothed at the time of death. So
right.
Doesn't take, you know, when you look at the scenes around Gaddafi, doesn't take a lot to wonder when he's in the hands of the enemy just what went on.
Indeed. I share your opinion, because of his behavior throughout, from World War I onward. The fact that he volunteered for a really treacherous duty in being a messenger. Nobody's going to act cowardly later on. And I think that the way that this myth got started was that it makes it seem like, or it kind of supports the myth that he was trained at Tavistock, and that he was a British agent, and that he was, so that it makes it seem like, well, it's the Germans' own fault, and he was an agent, he was a Rothschild, and this and that, so that it takes the focus off of what the good, great things that he did for the economy in Germany. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think since the birth of the internet, a lot more people are a lot more wiser, and so they have to come out with more BS, you know. I mean, the economy was. I mean, once the story was that the economy wasn't as bad as what people made out, but as I say, more information comes out with the internet, and now it's it was helped by the Zionists or the bankers. You know, they're always trying to create something which, as you've just mentioned, then takes away this greatness of this one person who, from ordinary beginnings, it's either me or you or, you know, your next door neighbour in government and working for the people, and just an incredible story, which is always enemies are always going to try and tear it apart, but the truth is difficult to tear the truth apart, because, you know, the lie never lasts.
As you say, the truth will out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, you started this project. How long ago did you start this project?
It's probably about 4.5 years ago now, maybe 4 years. I know it took me around nearly 3 years to actually complete.
Wow.
It was a labor of love, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. You wrote the script, you put it all together. I am just so amazed at your creativity. And
actually, it's not true that I wrote the script. I actually, every 15 minutes, I just plotted it as I went along, knowing much of the story and how things developed. But I never actually worked off a script, Diana.
Okay, but you put it together in such a way that it just demonstrates creative genius, in my opinion.
Thank you. Well, the thing is the trick is to keep people interested. 6 hours is a long time. And may I just say that people who complain that it's 6 hours, the movie Hitler, the Rise of Evil was 2.5 hours, and they didn't even get up to the war. Plus, it was a lot of rubbish. But what I'm trying to say, for something what had never been, a lot had never been revealed before, and I was covering nearly 100 years in all, 6.5 hours, you know, was just about right.
Yes. Well, I stayed with it the entire time. I mean, because not break the continuity. And, well, John Stadtmiller stayed with it the entire time, not to break the continuity. And it just kept your interest to the point that it was kind of an easy thing to do. I mean, you just decide, okay, I'm going to take the stay and do it.
Yeah, well, it's like a series. I did it in such a way that if you were working or you were busy, you could watch an hour and then come back and pick up straight off and watch another hour, maybe 2 hours, depending on what time you had. But it's all about not so much leaving a cliffhanger, but leaving it in such a way that you'd want to know the next stage. And I felt all the way through I managed to achieve it. But the greatest achievement I felt was the final part. Part 25, where I'd gone all that way, and I'd even gone into detail after the war of what happened, and I thought, if this doesn't work now on the final episode, it's just gonna be heartbreaking. But it turned out that now is my favourite. Well, it was then my favourite episode, because for the 25th part, it just all comes together. With the pattern, and then you've got the old German soldiers talking, explaining, you know, they weren't fighting the Russians as such, they were fighting the Bolsheviks, and they would have gone right through to France. And then it moves on to the old man who knew Hitler in his younger days, and explained that when Hitler looked at him, his eyes would pierce him and go into a distance beyond. And from that moment on, he looked at Hitler and always felt that Hitler was a man of honour and integrity. And then as it went into the final stages, explaining that the Russians were indeed going to invade, and the papers and documents had been signed by the Russians, that Hitler actually invaded just in time, something like just under 3 weeks, or the Soviets would have invaded en masse. And if it was caught unawares, it would have been a problem for all of Europe, which today is, you know, is never thanked for.
Yes, indeed.
And the music, Dan, of course, played a big part in it all. And the music in that 25th part is just, I just felt unbelievable.
Yes, yes. Well, the music throughout, I mean, I usually start crying right away. Because yeah. I just...
I did myself. You know, when I realised what we'd, you know, I mean, I always knew what we'd lost, but when I could see it in front of me on the screen, and then I look around at what we've got today, you can't help but be brought to tears.
Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah. And vision. People don't read much anymore. Mm-hmm. A lot of people haven't picked up a book since they graduated from college or left school. And so this is such a wonderful way of presenting the history and really helping people to understand. So it's an amazing feat. I really just think it's just an amazing thing that you've done. And we're at a break. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. Welcome back. this is Deanna, and I am subbing for the one and only Clint Richardson. I will be here tonight and tomorrow evening. And our guest tonight and tomorrow is Dennis Wise, who is also known as Truth Will Out. He is the producer of the very popular movie Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is The Greatest Story Never Told. And of course, we do invite questions from the chat room. And you may also call in at 800-313-9443 if you have questions or comments. So we welcome you to do either of those things. So that would be great. Okay, the movie again is Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. How did you settle on that particular title?
Well, it's funny, really, because I have had experience in promoting years ago. And when you do a big show or a big event, you need a big title. And there doesn't come with any bigger story than Adolf Hitler. And so you need a big title. And when I first used the title, and I was putting the episodes up on YouTube, there were some people criticizing the title, saying that nobody's going to watch it. But as I said, I knew from experience that if it did catch on or catch fire, then that title only grows. It's a little bit like if you have a big title in a small venue, it kind of doesn't really mean nothing. But the bigger the venue gets, you know, if you start to say play arenas, that title then starts to grow with that event. And so I knew that if ever it did, which I was hoping it would, and the early signs told me it would, then I knew that that title would be would epitomise the whole thing. And certainly when I look on the internet these days, and I've googled certain things, and a lot of people are either telling people to go and view it, or are recommending if they're in some kind of a debate, they'll go to the documentary. It just seems to be the one that has just broken through that little bit of a barrier. That's not to say that there's people more capable, even than me, at research, which hopefully this documentary will break down barriers so then people can watch the documentary and then even go and research with these other people. I know that you have these people on your show, Deanna. And so it's just a barrier that it's broke through, I feel, and it's not yet finished because at the moment, obviously, we get banned on Facebook and we get banned on YouTube. But at the moment, we've had one of the channels have been up for just under 6 months, and that's got around 500,000 hits. But there's other channels on YouTube as well. The one in particular, which I couldn't find for a while, and that's had 200,000 hits. So there's you add it all together, and people want to come to the website. There's a lot of people out there realizing and commenting how they've been lied to and how they've been wrongly demonized.
Indeed, and I think that that because of the current activities in the Middle East and the similar circumstances, the commonalities between what happened to Germany and what happened to Libya and what happened in Iraq, it just really maximizes the idea that, gosh, this lion and this viciousness and this terroristic warfare that the Allies, because it seems like that Britain and France and America have been doing this sort of behavior, engaging in this kind of behavior for quite some time. So people say, well, yeah, it didn't start just recently. It started back in World War One.
Well, before then with Britain. Britain's quite an adept hand and France, because people forget again, time of World War II, everybody said Hitler wanted to conquer the world. The world was more or less already conquered by France and by Britain.
Indeed.
They had the various tactics all sorted out. But America, I felt, learnt a lot from World War One, whereas at the end of World War Two, they went for complete annihilation.
Right.
We even see today that 90-year-old ex-SS men are being picked up and taken to Germany for trial. They want to actually annihilate National Socialism totally.
Isn't that amazing? All righty, we are going to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
With no shoes on their feet, how's the people living in the street? Oh, there's a solution.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and I am, you are listening to the Corporation Nation, usually hosted by Clint Richardson, for whom I am subbing tonight and tomorrow evening. His website is thecorporationnation.com. We will take calls at 800-313-9443, and if you would like to join us in, well, there's two chat rooms open, spingola.chatango.com and corporationnation.chatango.com. There's no the before the corporation, just corporationnation.chatango.com. And I am kind of visiting both chat rooms and talking with our wonderful guest, Dennis Wise, also known as Truth Will Out. He is the producer of the very popular Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, and that website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. We were talking about, what were we talking about? I was reading some things in the chat room, but anyway, we do have a caller.
Okay.
So let's take Chris in Canada. I hope it's a Chris. I think it is. Chris, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Dennis. Wow. Hi. My friend, I watched your documentary, and it blew my mind.
Yeah.
You've done something that people have been thinking about for years, and you put it in so concisely and appropriate and perfect. I am just so ecstatic about it. I'm sending this out to everybody I know, and
thank you.
Unfortunately, I live in Canada, so I got to be really careful about what I do or say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had many people imprisoned for doing less than what you did with this, but thank you. All I can say is thank you for what you've done with this. This is beautiful.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And there is a couple. Well, I've seen many of documentaries, and you're familiar with a lot of the people that are on the same page with you. But there's one called Debunking the Holocaust,
mm-hmm.
and it's a two-part series. It was done before your project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done in two parts. It's about 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
And they walk you to the library to show you the books before they were burned. And they got copies of the books. They recorded them, and then they recorded testimony from the Nuremberg trials. And it's just amazing. You put it in a Hollywood term, it's not as well done in that aspect. He's more of a like.
I've seen it. Yeah, yeah.
You have seen it.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it. Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. But I mean, it's if you're not into Hollywood movies, you wouldn't get past the first hour. You know, if you're trying to pay attention, and he literally shows you the books. And explains and then shows you the contrary evidence, and it's so well done. But you at least have brought this to the mainstream, in my opinion, soon be to people that really don't get it, because nowadays everybody, like I said, they have to have flash and bangs and pretty pictures and. You did it very eloquently, and I'm so impressed with you, and so proud of you for doing this.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chris, so much. We really appreciate your call.
Okay. I can't add much more at this point. I'm just, I'm still ecstatic. I'm glad I got to speak with you, Dennis.
No problem.
And if there's an email I can get a hold of you on, I got other hosts, radio hosts that would love to speak with you as well.
Sure,
Well,
the website is thegreatestorynevertold.tv. Just send an email there, and it'll find me.
Okay, Dennis. Well, thank you. And thank you for all you do, my friend.
Pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Chris. All right, let's take Dale in North Carolina. Dale?
Hey, Deanna, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
Always glad to hear from you. Listen, Deanna, I got to ask your guest a question, and I'm not trying to shoot anybody down here. What I want to know, okay, is we've been taught all our lives that Hitler was a bad man. And I started to watch this series, and it looks like this guy's glamorizing this guy. Where is he getting his information from?
Well, the information was freely available on the internet. The only problem was it was buried. And it was only because of my father telling me a lot about it when I was younger that I actually knew where to look. And most truthers today miss the thing about Hitler. From 9/11 onwards, they're looking at the bankers, they're looking at the Jews, they're looking at whoever, Zionists, Israel, but they completely miss the battle of World War II, which was caused by the bankers and by the Zionists and the Jews. And Hitler got mainland Europe together with this unbelievable army and took them on. He had to take them, he was forced. And he took them on, and they fought for 5 years to the death. Now, all I can say is what's in that documentary is what I found out to be true, what my father told me, and I've also sourced everything as well. So
what you're telling me is that what you've been documenting here is what you've been told by your relatives?
No, I was first told when I was a boy by my father, who fought for the Axis powers. When I came home from school in England, and I was told about the Holocaust, etc., when I mentioned that to my dad about this evil Adolf Hitler, he then sat me down and told me exactly the reasons why he fought and other people fought for him. And it was a completely different story than what I was learning at school. But I had to keep quiet.
So listen, here's the thing. You've got a lot of people in this world who believe Hitler was a rotten man.
For sure.
And now what you're telling us is because what your dad told you, now all of a sudden he's not?
No, I mean, I'm telling you.
Help me figure this out, Dennis.
No, listen. I'm telling you that my dad's got me thinking the way nobody else would think. Because everybody starts off the research that Hitler was a bad guy. All of a sudden, I start my research off with him not being the bad guy, and I then go down avenues and lanes and under mountains or wherever and find this information which is buried on the internet, because without the internet, I actually say at the end of the documentary, I couldn't have done it. But because of the internet, the information was out there, but I had to find it. Now, I don't care who they are. If people don't realize that Hitler was the victim, they would never go down the avenues that I went down. And I wouldn't have done if I didn't know about it. But when I went down there, I suddenly realized this is true. This is right.
Okay. Can I interrupt it, Dennis?
Sure.
Let me ask you one more question.
Sure.
Is there anywhere that this is documented on your website that we can actually verify this stuff?
Part 26 is complete sources. There's a whole list of sources of where the information came from. And plus, throughout the documentary, of course, it's quite easy, you can work things out that it's obviously true. Take, for instance, the Blueberg massacre, when the Croatians were sent back to Yugoslavia, massacred by the British. Well, the British openly admit it, that's on film. So it's obvious, you know what I'm saying? So there's, all through the documentary, there's pieces like that. There's also documented and sourced all the sources in Panic 6.
Dale, may interject somewhere also.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have, I have, I'm very objective. I like to look at both sides. I grew up and believed for years and years that the Holocaust actually occurred. I believed that Adolf Hitler was the most evil person on the face of the earth. And then I thought, well, I'm going to look at the other side. And I started reading other documents, other sources. I read a lot of the transcripts from the Nuremberg trial. I read other history books, revisionist books, and I found the exact same thing that Dennis has found, and I have put that in book two. I did a trilogy, and certainly it's not popular, but truth is not a popularity contest. And just because something is widely believed does not mean that it is true. And certainly the victors write the history. And so we are going to get the history according to the court historian's version. Now, after World War I, the U.S. government sent 1,500 men throughout Europe to collect documents and all kinds of evidence indicating that Germany did not start World War I, and documenting exactly who was behind World War I. And I thought, well, they probably did double duty after World War II. If they were that cognizant and that concerned about people finding out the truth, they would certainly do that after World War II, which is the case. And of course, they did not want people to find out who had actually destroyed Russia, who had actually destroyed Germany, and the whole cause for World War I. So if they got it wrong in World War I, then they probably got it wrong in World War II. So does that make any sense?
I'm saying, holy cow. I mean, how much more lying are we going to take before we really dig down deep and see? I mean, holy cow. You know, holy cow.
They've done it since then. I mean, they did it in Iraq. I mean, they learned from World War II, where they've got control now of Germany, all its assets, all its education, all its media, all its publishing, right up to 2099. They've done the same in Iraq. They've left Iraq. They've left 100 rules, right, which Iraq now are in lockdown. And the kind of thing about it, and all the profits and the money and everything from whatever deals they do, goes to America, even though there's literally no American troops there. But they learned exactly the same from World War II, and they put into action in Iraq. The lies and the deceit and the thieving just goes on.
It's so sad. It's so sad. Well, thank you for letting me talk to you. And,
No problem.
Have a good evening. Thank you, Deanna.
Thanks, Dale. Okay, let's take Jerry in Chicago. Jerry?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Deanna, and Mr. Wise, thank you very much.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, I was listening to your show when Werner from New Brunswick called in and said, you got to watch this. And that was back when it was about 15 parts. I watched 15 parts, and just this past Christmas and the day after Christmas, I finished watching all 27 parts.
Yeah.
And I watched it again since then, and I'm just wondering, Mr. Wise, I'm under the impression, maybe I'm wrong, but as more information surfaces and more facts come out, you're going to add more parts onto this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
What's that last line you said, sorry?
I was just wondering if, as more information comes out that you gather, are you going to add more parts from 27 to 30 to 35 and so on?
Well, that's a good question. At the moment, I'm working on another documentary, which is kind of about today and why the situation we are in since the loss of World War II. And in that research, I found out things that, for instance, when the Russians liberated Auschwitz, they raped all the women. Now, I haven't mentioned that in the documentary. It's not something I knew at the time of the documentary. Sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. All I'm saying is that I heard the same thing you're saying right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure. They were terrible.
Yeah. But I haven't been told about that before. You know, I just heard that they'd liberated Auschwitz, etc. But in the documentary itself, it mentions that Stalin didn't believe in prisoners of war. And anybody, any Soviets who were in them camps were sent straight to the gulags anyway. What I didn't realize, though, at Auschwitz, that the Soviets raped the women there. And now we have to believe the Soviets in Auschwitz who said there were gas chambers. Things are starting not to add up.
And the only thing I have to add is that, Deanna, you had a guest on your show. Her mother was dying, and she read her mother's diary, and she was in a Hitler youth camp.
Yes, yes.
Why don't you hook Dennis and her daughter up and just let them talk? Because I'll tell you what. And the only reason I'm going to spring out of this is because my grandmother was from Austria. And my grandfather on my father's side was from Germany.
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend that I dated was from Siegen, West Germany. And she said that her mother just passed away 4 years ago. She said that she only had good things to say about Hitler. That confirms what your guest said. I think you need to hook these two people up.
Sure, sure.
Dennis, I am a big fan of yours. Thank you very much for opening people's eyes. And I push this film on everybody, and I mention it on a lot of different calls that I make into different shows. And thanks again. Thanks for taking my call. You guys have a blessed evening.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you, Jerry. All righty. Let's take Fred in Iowa. Fred, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Diane. Is your guest name Wiseman?
No. Dennis Wise.
Wise, in your book, do you say anything or any information about the Roman papacy upheld and supplied Hitler?
Yeah, in the new documentary, I go into the Vatican. My findings are that when Germany took over Europe, so to speak, the Vatican, well, Mussolini before Hitler, the Vatican had been infiltrated by Freemasons before then. Mussolini got rid of the Freemasons, Hitler got rid of the Freemasons, and the Vatican was as Europe was, free for 12 years. Now, in 1945, when Germany fell, then they were...
All righty. Gentlemen, we are going to a break. Fred, you're welcome to stay over the break if you have further questions or comments. We will be back in 3 minutes. This is Deanna, and I am subbing for Clint tonight and tomorrow night. And our guest tonight is Dennis Wise, that's W-I-S-E, also known as Truth Will Out. He is the producer of the very popular Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. His website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. And the gentleman that was talking about the lady that I had on, whose mother was in the Hitler Youth, is Cynthia Sandor, an absolutely wonderful, wonderful person. I haven't talked to her for a while. And she wrote a book called Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. In fact, I need to have her on again. A wonderful, wonderful person who demonstrates some of the wonderful characteristics that she learned from her mother. Okay, Fred, did you have other questions or comments?
Yeah, can I get your book and read it.
Can I just answer that quickly, that first question?
Okay.
If you remember, Hitler helped Spain when the communists were trying to take over Spain. He sent the Luftwaffe over to Africa so Franco could bring his army into Spain and eventually defeat the communists. Well, them communists in Spain were taking out nuns, they were taking out priests, they were burning churches down, and so the Vatican knew very well what was going to come from if the Soviets invaded Europe. So Hitler was a kind of a protector of the Vatican, and for them 12 years protected the Vatican up to 45, when eventually Germany fell, and even though there was in great danger, they managed to smuggle a lot of top Germans out of Europe through the rat lines, as you've probably heard of. But eventually, it was always going to be infiltrated again, and by the time 1961-63, when the Second Vatican Council came in, and totally, they made those rules, previous rules, in such a way that they could be changed so easily, that now you see that the Catholic Church today is a shadow of what it used to be, and of course infiltrated by more Freemasons and now blotted with the paedophiles as well. So the whole thing was to destroy Christianity, because Christianity is the enemy of communism and it is the enemy of Freemasonry.
Well, I think you're sincere, but you got it backwards.
Fred, have you watched the movie?
Not yet. The Vatican is not infiltrated. The Vatican is infiltrating the Protestant religion. Dresden, Germany, the northern part of Germany, that was where most of the Protestants were. We and the British just bombed the hell out of it. And if you look up in your history of what the genocide happened in Croatia, just find out who in the hell backed and done that. Now, this is something that one out of 100 people will understand. When Napoleon's General Berthier in 1798 went into the Vatican and incarcerated him, and then the beast died while he's incarcerated, and then they said, how did the beast live?
Napoleon was a Freemason.
Right, well, right.
Napoleon was a Freemason.
But people don't understand who controls and backs and created the Masons, and that was the Jesuits. But anyhow, reinstated the Vatican in 1929. The beast come alive again. Who can fight the beast? Anyhow, I think you've got a hell of a book, and I'm going to read it. But
It is actually a movie, and you can watch that movie at thegreateststorynevertold.tv. It's a beautiful movie, and I hope that you will watch it as soon as you can. The website, thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back in about 3 minutes. Thank you, Fred, for your phone call.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
In this world there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little.
All right, we are back. This is Deanna Spingola. I am subbing for Clint Richardson, and this is, you are listening to the Corporation Nation. And Clint's website is realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. We are running two chat rooms tonight, spingola.chatango.com and corporationnation.chatango.com. Our guest today, tonight, and tomorrow night will be
Dennis Wise, also known as Truth Will Out. He is the producer of the marvelous, very popular, well, brilliant movie Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. His website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Okay, we do have some more callers, so would you like to clarify some things before we move on? Okay. Did you want to clarify anything that Fred
said?
Sure. No,
it's fine, yeah.
Okay. All righty. So let's take John in California. John?
Hello there, Deanna and Mr. Wise.
Hi, John.
Mr. Wise, I heard about your movie, a couple of months ago on RBN. When did you actually produce it so that it was ready to be viewed on the web?
It was about 18 months ago, something like that.
Okay, that's good, that's good. Okay, I look forward to dedicating the full 6 hours to going through all 27 parts in one sitting, so I've just been having trouble sitting down to do that with all the other things. But anyway, I look forward to it. I first got wind of that I had been lied to most of my life regarding the Jewish Hala fraud or Hala hoax or hoaxacost or whatever you want to call that. When I, about 6 years after I graduated from Northwestern University with an electrical engineering degree, I recognized when I turned on the 6 o'clock news, I got home one evening, and there they're talking about my alma mater, and they're talking about the electrical engineering department. There's the guy who showed up for the interview, the guy named Dr. Arthur R. Butts. And coincidentally, I'm sure it's a big coincidence, but he had just gotten full tenure at Northwestern University, and he was also, by the way, now releasing his book that he'd done a lot of research in the past six or eight years. And I would add that he was also, bar none, the best professor that I have ever had in terms of a teacher. This is back in the late 60s, you know, when the mathematics professors were telling us to, tune in, turn on, drop out, and screw your girlfriend and all that kind of crap. And, and this guy was, and they were always late for class, and they always gave examples of mathematical problems and differential equations, and the examples never seemed to work, and the numbers didn't seem to match up. Well, that's not very professional, especially at a school like Northwestern, but this guy Butts, he came into class, he was prepared. I could always take a good set of notes. I could even read the notes. He wasn't struggling to fill in every last minute. He was always on time, never kept us afterwards. Yep. He just was a great professor, very, very business-like in the classroom. I just want to make that comment because I don't think a lot of people are aware of that. Well, anyway, when he came out with his book, The Hoax of the 20th Century, The Presumed Extinction of European Jewry, it gave me quite a bit to think about. And I really didn't start getting a real good handle on it until the early 2000s when I started reading some other books at vho.org, and then I started looking into all the wars of the U.S. government has been behind championing for the past 150 or 160 years, and I realized that people don't like the conclusions that I come to, Mr. Wise. I tell them that Kaiser Wilhelm was not responsible for World War One, even though Germany was made to pay the price through the Treaty of Versailles. And then on top of that, if the U.S. government had stayed out of it and not gotten involved in it the way this quack for a president, Woodrow Wilson, who promised to keep our country out of war, and really didn't have any intention of doing any intended to get us involved in the war, and a lot of this is related to that agreement with Lord Balfour, the Balfour Agreement, to create a Jewish state sometime in the near future. There probably would have been no need for a World War II, and what people don't really like hearing me say is that any of our relatives, like my both of my uncles, other people's grandfathers, fathers, relatives, cousins that fought in World War II, and the worst thing would be, of course, if they got killed. The second worst thing, or I don't know, I'm and maybe stretching that a bit, would be they got wounded, and others who just, you know, put up with a lot of crap, you know, the death march and the baton and all this other stuff.
Sure.
They effectively sacrificed for two reasons. Number one, they sacrificed to promote communism by their military involvement, because the president of our country was a guy named FDR, who was essentially a communist.
Yeah, sure.
And then on top of that, they also fought and died and got wounded to destroy the most ardent, strident, fervent anti-communist on the world stage.
Exactly.
It was none other than Adolf Hitler.
Exactly.
And they don't like that. So, and I start talking about Vietnam and then, of course, all of these wars that are currently going on now. And it's just, it just seems almost an insurmountable task to try to make a point.
Sure. Well, listening to you talk, I do believe you will enjoy the documentary. I really do.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, sir.
Listening to you talk, I really do believe that you're going to enjoy the documentary.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Sure.
So, thanks a lot for your time, Mr. Wise. Good luck to you, and thanks, Deanna, for everything you do to promote revisionist history.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate your phone call.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take Damien in Florida. Welcome to the program, Damien.
Hey, Deanna, I just want to say I love your show, and let me just be quick. Mr. Wise, I just have one question about Chapter 17 in your documentary. I watched the whole thing. And in the end, when he made that speech about the, people who, they control, they're pretty much controlling everything. They live in Paris today, tomorrow.
When his spirit was going over the over Germany.
So is that something we can look up, or is that something that was written? Because that's not the finding.
That speech was made in about 1923.
Before that.
Yeah. But still significant then, and still significant today.
No, but I mean, at this point, do you think it's when they heard that speech that they were like, we need to get rid of this guy?
Well, he did escape a few explosions early on in his career. But the thing was, is like I said to Deanna early on, is that he educated the German people. And as I said, that was an early speech, that, which was an incredible, powerful speech. You can tell in his voice is just electric.
Yes, it was. I thought it was after he got the power.
No, but I just felt it was right for that time of the movie.
But I was like, wow, I mean, he really was putting it on point at that point, and I don't want to take much more of your time, but at this point, I was like, after starting all this stuff, I said, well, Germany is in Europe's powerhouse. They make everything.
Yeah.
Nobody else can make anything better than Germany.
For sure. I do feel they're still controlled, and they are occupied today, though, which is a shame, but it's true about the actual German people.
Well, they are brilliant.
Thank you very much for your work. And Ms. Bengola, thank you very much for your work as well. I will hang up now, but I really thank you guys tonight.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your phone call. Alrighty, let's take Mike in Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yeah, well, I think obviously anybody that's not heard about these perspectives is very, very, very challenged by any of this type of perspective or concept. So, you say it's been about 18 months since this has been posted up on the internet?
Yeah, roughly something like that. Yeah, it took me 3 years to actually complete it.
Is there any credible debunking sites out there that you've run across that you have to say, well, yeah, they're a little bit right about this point or that point? The problem is when you have something this controversial, you're going to have a lot of ad hominem attacks, a lot of name-calling and conspiracy theory this and blah, blah, blah. So,
well, can I just say, you're right in what you're saying, but in, the practicality of it, it didn't quite work out like that. When I did the documentary, I knew that it would be gone, it would be gone over with a fine tooth comb by certain sections of the enemy. So I knew that everything that I put in there had to be verified and sourced, which it is. Yeah. And the only people what attack it can only say one thing. Don't watch this DVD. It's neo-Nazi propaganda. That's all they say. They'll try and deflect people from watching it. Because they know. Because when I say, you watch, you decide, I say that with confidence. But they'll never say that. They'll just say, don't watch it. It's Nazi propaganda. Don't go near it. Dennis Wise is a loser.
So you're not advocating neo-Nazism.
Sorry?
You are not advocating neo-Nazism.
I explained quite early that Adolf Hitler would never have joined the Ku Klux Klan. That the, the whole German movement was totally different to what was going on in America.
Yeah, and of course I've heard a lot about the Ku Klux Klan, the really high profile guys that march around and cuss with all their tattoos. They would never they would never be allowed to enter the original Ku Klux Klan because they're not of good moral character. Character people don't even cuss, you know? That's what I've heard about the Klan, but the Klan that's around today is just a cartoon.
Well, I just think that the Klan picked up the propaganda that was coming out of Germany and used it in their way that they felt, when really it was propaganda coming out of Germany, because to call Germany racist, but to compare that to America, say the American army, where the Negroes were all segregated and couldn't sleep with the white soldiers, where in Germany the SS was from all over the world, and they all fought shoulder to shoulder, whether they were black, Arab, Asian, Italian, whatever, they all fought together as one unit. And if that's being racist,
well, and are you much of a student of the Bible?
I'm not such a thing where I could quote the Bible, but I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ.
Well, Revelation chapter 9, a lot of people can't get past it because they want to sit here on one side of their brain and claim that we're in the last days and all this is the sort of stuff. But if we are in the last days, you have to be able to say, what is this strong delusion, and who are the Jews that say they are Jews but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan? You know, who are these deceivers that have been deceiving the world for how long, you know, if that's the case? And if you don't know, then you may be under this strong delusion. So one of the things that I find really disturbing about this insistence that they have had for 140-some years about 6 million Jews having to disappear before they can reoccupy the land is that there's about 6 million in the country now of Israel, and how could you get rid of them if it wasn't, you know, if they were to disappear, it would be perhaps by nuclear weapons. I mean, I find that very disturbing if they're insisting that they cannot have their promised land until 6 million Jews disappear. They've got a real numbers problem with the numbers in World War II, plus the fact that, I mean, how many people did we kill? It doesn't take you very long to starve to death if you bomb all the railroad lines and there's no food supply.
Exactly.
These prison camps or these work camps, whatever you want to call them. So a lot of the footage that people see of bodies being bulldozed into piles, it's after, of course, the Allied forces tried to, you know, run in and save these people from starving.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
They starved to death because we bombed all the railroads. There was no supply lines. So, I mean, a lot of people don't want to realize that, but, you know, we firebombed Dresden and created a firestorm, and I think there was a town in Japan that the Allies did that to. Until it created a firestorm. So, I mean, war is horrible. War is terrible. The economic isolation of Germany, I think, allowed whatever you think of Hitler. I mean, the economic isolation of Germany allowed him to do this barter system that he.
Well, they didn't want that getting out to the rest of the world, because once the rest of the world knew the situation, you know, I'm quite sure many countries would have turned around and said, "We want some of this," as Austria did.
Yeah, a barter system without debt. You don't have to borrow this fictional debt from somebody that makes it up out of thin air. I mean, that operation is still going on now today. Where
it's just a big con,
They loan people more money than they can ever pay back.
They haven't got it to loan.
Well, yeah,
you create
the money by signing for it or getting your country's leaders to sign for it, and then when your gross domestic product does not produce enough to pay this interest that compounds and compounds perpetually, then you can never pay it back. There's no jubilee. Where's the jubilee? If these, you know, I guess it's you have to be Jewish to receive a jubilee forgiveness of debt, because they'll loan to usury to anybody except their brother, supposedly, you know.
Yeah, because they're rubbing you blind, aren't they?
But a lot of people have no clue about this stuff. And
I touched on it more in the second documentary, because I felt in the first documentary that the shock factor was going to be enough for some people to take in. But I do go into a little bit more detail in the second documentary.
Well, if you really hate Hitler, don't drive down the interstates, because the Autobahn and the interstate highway system we have in the United States is in large part due to him. Is that not true?
Well, whether he invented it or not, I don't know, but he certainly put it into good use. Six after the after the election, he put people back to work. And anybody can put 3 million back to work in 12 months.
It's kind of like if you really hate Arabs, don't do algebra, because they invented it, you know. All right, I'll let you go.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mike. All righty. We have Richard in Texas. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a little disappointed that folks that haven't watched the film have chosen to call in, because it's kind of distracting, I think, from what the main point of this is supposed to be. I watched the film about a month ago and just was absolutely fascinated by it. I didn't do it all at once. I spent, three or four days, an hour at a time or something like that, but I was really grabbed by it. We've always got to remember that history is written by the victors. Sure. And it should not be a surprise to anyone that, you know, the whole story of World War II, the demonization of Hitler and all of that is just another part of the big web of lies that we've been swimming in since we were born.
Sure.
I just want to thank you for making this film. I think the production is excellent. The research is obviously deep. The presentation is just great, sequencing and all of that. I couldn't have been happier how that was put together. I'm not a Nazi sympathizer or any of that, but I've been bothered for years about the demonization of Hitler and all of that, and it was pretty obvious to me early on that part of what this was all about was to bring Germany to its knees, because it was an economic powerhouse. It was going to vie for power in the world with Britain and the United States. And so, anyway, I hope folks will give this an opportunity, go into it with an open mind. It doesn't cause you to necessarily have to be a fan of the Nazis or any of that sort of thing, but for sure open your eyes to both sides of the story and the fact that Hitler wasn't the man that he's been painted up to be. It bugs me that we hear so many truth commentators, you know, on talk radio,
continue
to use Heman as a demon, you know, and perpetrating the false myth.
Alrighty, we are going to a break, gentlemen. Richard, if you'd like to stay over for some more comments or questions, feel free. We'll be back. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Deanna, and I am subbing for Clint Richardson, and you are listening to the Corporation Nation, and Clint's website is thecorporationnation.com. We are taking phone calls at 800-313-9443. There's no one on the board at this time. We are also visiting with people in two different chat rooms, spingola.chatango.com and corporationnation.chatango.com. And Dennis, as you were taught, and our guest, Dennis Wise, is the producer of the brilliant and very popular Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. And his website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. One of the callers asked if you were, well, referred to as some sort of a neo-Nazi, or how people tended to try to marginalize you if they did not agree with what you found. And you said that your documentation, that you understood that this would occur, and that is why you did a good job.
And I had to, otherwise it would have been a waste of time.
Exactly. And the phrase came up, and it's one that I use frequently, is truth does not fear investigation. Absolutely. So that when people are watching your documentary, it is a documentary. It is not a propaganda piece. It is a documentary. And so have you found that people, instead of questioning the actual material in your documentary, simply attempt to vilify you or characterize you as some kind of a, well, a neo-Nazi?
Well, to be honest, there hasn't been much reaction at all from the other camp, which I'm sure you're well aware of. In fact, the only piece that I ever saw on the internet was written by a Jewish woman for a Jewish journal, which has a million readers in America, and it simply said that this documentary could well fool people because it's done so well and it's so believable that something must be done. But that's all I've ever heard, and this was just only a matter of like 14, 13 months ago. But other than that, because, and I've said it all along, if to make this documentary more public than it already is, it's only going to draw more attention. And the documentary is that strong on facts and on sources that it's the last thing they'll want to do. I'm convinced. So at this moment in time, they seem to be of a tactic of let's just play it down. But it's one of them documentaries which, with the internet and with word of mouth, and with people putting it on blogs and people putting their own channels up on YouTube, it's very difficult to contain it. They banned it from Facebook. They banned it from, Live Leak, or was it Vimeo, I think it was. Can you believe this, Dana, right? They banned that documentary. We paid for a page. You know, you can do this on Vimeo. Make it professional. We paid for the page. And they sent an email back saying that your content isn't what we like on our site, good luck in the future. And yet somebody the other day sent me a link to an RTO mass, which is Aleister Crowley's organization, one of the most despicable and magic debauchery, I suppose it's a Mason lodge in history, and the actual mass is on that site. So this is what you're up against. That's good enough for them, but this a documentary wasn't. But sometimes when you know you keep the truth down, it has ways of leaking, and certainly this documentary is finding its way to get to people.
And that is an interesting thing, that they will carry all kinds of anti-Muslim documentary or their videos, propaganda pieces. The local libraries will carry all kinds of trashy movies and R-rated things, and nobody says a thing. But if you attempt to share with them a copy of, well, I've tried to share a copy of Democracy, Afghanistan After Democracy, and they said, oh no, it's too graphic. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
They are so selectively selective. Okay, we're going to a quick break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me.
back. This is Deanna, and I'm subbing for Clint tonight, and I thank you very much for joining us. And my guest is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of the very popular Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. That website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. He will be joining us again tomorrow night, which is fabulous. So anyway, we have Mike from Kentucky who's called back in. Mike, you had another question or comment?
Well, I kind of did and forgot to mention it earlier. I can get this thing aired locally. It sounds like you're letting people put it up wherever they can get it to stay on the internet. Is that?
Sure. Yeah.
So it's 6 hours. If I can find the entire thing, I can download it or whatever, make my own DVD set or.
Yeah, well, there's 6 hours on YouTube on the Greatest Story Never Told channel, but it's not of the highest quality because obviously
you don't have a. Do you have a trimmed down version that would be something that would be for public access TV or independent media that maybe could air the bulk of it to tease to get the full thing?
Well, you'd probably have to get the DVD for the best quality.
Yeah. So, but for media outlets that maybe not can't devote 6 hours to it, is there some portions of it that you would recommend?
Well, it's difficult because to do the 6 hours took so long, and the reason I did 6 hours is because I felt I needed to do 6 hours. So, I dare say you could cut it up, but whether or not that would have the same effect.
Well, no, but I know I've seen in the past a lot of guys will do some sort of a trimmed down version with the promotional donuts, as they call it, in the middle. So you can get the full documentary, you know, call this number, email
sure.
Dennis Wise sure. at such and such. And by the way, what is your email?
It's the greatest story never told .tv. Well, that's the website. If you go on the website, you'll be able to email the website.
There's a contact us thing on the on there.
Sure.
.tv, the greatest story never told.
Yeah.
All right, I guess that's all I had for you this evening, and thanks for all your work.
No problem.
Thank you, Mike. All righty. Do we have any more callers? No. If you have a question or comment, feel free to call in at 800-313-9443. I think it would be very difficult, incredibly difficult to take any portion of the movie out. I can't see where that could happen.
It's difficult because there's certain reasons why they're done. For instance, I'll give you an example. When the Cossacks got sent back, and I think it was General Panwitz who could have stayed in Germany because of the Geneva Convention, but he actually turned around and said, "I was with the Cossacks in the good times. I'm going to stay with them in the bad times." And he actually got sent back to the Soviet Union and was executed. And such honour. I mean, the Cossacks look at him today as the last knight of Europe. But such honour, I have to show, which was capable of the German army. After all the bad press and all the propaganda about the Nazis, inverted commas, you know, I have to show that to show people that they were honourable people. And they even stopped any massacres, because some of the Cossacks did massacre down in the Balkans, and then he brought a lawyer saying, any more of this and you'll be executed. They were of the highest order, and if just to leave that out wouldn't be the same.
Exactly. And that brings up another point also, that is demonstrated in the movie and in other documents and things that I've read, is that the Germans' character in war was not like the soldiers from the U.S. or the soldiers from France or the soldiers from Britain. They were very disciplined. They did not engage in raping the people of the countries that they were in, but they had ethics.
They had values that they did not forget. And they were actually fighting for the right reason. They were fighting the enemy that had invaded. I mean, they were fighting for their lives. They were fighting for their country. They were not fighting for some, well, philosophy such as the other people were.
Well, this is one of the great mysteries of what people can't understand is why, in this fight against communism, did America and Britain side with communism? It is one of them questions people can't understand, but it's answered by saying, oh, the Nazis were that bad that we have to side with the communists. But the truth of it was that the bankers in the early 1900s had funded the Bolsheviks in that revolution, and so the bankers on Wall Street fed that Bolshevik party for all them years, and until 1933, when they finally got Roosevelt in, who was sympathetic to it all the previous presidents up to that point wouldn't have nothing to do with the Soviet Union because their ideology is about conquering the whole world, but yet Roosevelt then suddenly acknowledged them, lied about what was going on in Ukraine, called Stalin Uncle Joe, and the rest is history. And there's a connection there between the Masons of the bankers, you know, that Masonic thing of Britain. The Rothschilds took over the Fed early 1900s. The Bolshevik Revolution was funded by them, so it's kind of a triangle there. So it wasn't as though it was like a three countries against one. It was actually one country, one massive part of the earth against one tiny country, which eventually was decimated.
Right. And of course, as soon as Britain, or as soon as America declared war, and of course they had to do that by provoking Japan to attack them. I mean, it was such a convoluted way that they got into the war. And if you look at that history and that part of the war, then you understand that it was just such a convoluted situation to get America into the war. And it was the same kind of situation in World War One. And even, you know, you mentioned that that FDR formally sanctioned communism, formally acknowledged them as a country. But Wilson actually sent $10 million of taxpayer money to the communists early on. But he didn't formally recognize them. But that was one of the first things that FDR did.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right. And of course, he was a 33-degree Mason, as was Churchill.
Yes.
As was Stalin. And Hitler destroyed Freemasonry in Germany. I only recently just got a list of all the occult and Mason lodges that he closed down. Because I hate the fact that people say he was into the occult, when quite clearly, if anybody was into the occult, it was the Allies, and still are today in the United Nations. But, you know, not only did he close these places down, but when he went into the Ukraine, he opened up the churches. So
it's,
you know, actions speak louder than words, Diana, you know that.
Sure, yes. And when you look at the history of the Ukraine and what the Soviets did there, I mean, they took all the food with them when they moved east, took all the food with them and destroyed a lot of the fertility of the soil. And so when the Germans did go into the Ukraine, they fed the local citizens. They took from their country and brought in enough food to feed the people who would have starved. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it shows in the documentary. I do a little piece. Again, you see, I couldn't leave this piece out, because not everybody is familiar with what went on in the Ukraine. So I do a little piece on Stalin first, as you probably remember. It's just showing how cruel they were in the Ukraine. And then when the Germans eventually did go in, the Ukrainian women blessed the soldiers as they went past, because suddenly they could, you know, go to the churches which Stalin had closed down. The Germans were looked on as liberators and as Christian liberators fighting godless communism.
Yes. And there's so many details in your video, in your movie. And a lot of people have heard, oh, Hitler was just a vagabond. He was just a house painter. He was this, he was that. Uh-huh. And that is simply not true. I mean, they've marginalized him in every possible way that they can. They went throughout Europe and picked up all the negative things that were said about him in the newspapers and made a Hitler source book. And they just couldn't give this guy any compliment at all, or any credibility, or any, nothing nice. And you have to ask yourself, gosh, exactly. This guy didn't have any redeeming quality at all?
They didn't want any bits of cracks. They just wanted to paint him as evil. And unfortunately, people at the time and people since have fallen for the lies. And without the internet, Deanna, I haven't a clue where we'd all be today.
Oh, don't you just love the internet? Okay, we do have some callers. Let's take Fred in Michigan. Fred, welcome to the program. Haven't talked to you for a while.
Pain hell every day, every night, so I get a brief reprieve every now and then. Thank you for bringing Stephen on. I want first
Dennis? Dennis is our guest.
I'm sorry, Dennis.
Hi.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Is it possible to order your DVD via a phone number?
Well, the situation is you go through the website. Because of the obvious copyright possible problems, we tend not to sell it, but what we do is charge for a membership, and then we have certain packages which are on the website, which includes the DVD. So that's the way to get around it.
Okay, and that's The Greatest Story Never Told, that TV.
That's the one.
Okay. In 1920, there's this journal, The American Hebrew, in which they brazenly declared that the Bolshevik Revolution was the success of Talmudic Jewish brains, Talmudic Jewish dissatisfaction, Talmudic Jewish planning, whose goal is to create a Talmudic Jewish new order in the world. And what was performed in so excellent a way, thanks to Talmudic Jewish brains, etc., shall also, through the same Talmudic Jewish mental physical, become a reality all over the world. Isn't that what we're witnessing?
I know.
You know, and then there's this guy, Werner Sombart, The Jews in Modern Capitalism. And he says that Jewish Talmudic financial influence makes the United States what it is, American. For what we Talmudic Jews call Americanism is nothing else than the Jewish spirit distilled.
Mm-hmm.
Modern capitalism is nothing more nor less than the expression of the Talmudic Jewish spirit. Then he goes on to say, capitalism was born from the money loan, and money lending contains the root idea of capitalism. Turn to the pages of the Talmud, and you'll discover that the Talmudic Jews created the art of money fabrication and money lending.
Sure.
And we were taught early to seek our chief happiness in the possession of money. We fathom all secrets that lay hidden in money. became lords of money and lords of the world. So, is my presumption secure in this, that these Juciferian Talmudic serpent semenite spawn bag financiers at the Federal Reserve, and if I recall, Janet Yellen and Stanley Fisher are dual Israeli American citizens from Israel. Okay, and it's always that way. Robert Rubin, I remember, Warren Summers, etc. Okay, so then we have 9/11. I think that was the work of these same international Bolsheviks. So, really, what we were witnessing here is a Talmudic Bolshevik, or as I say, Juciferian Talmudic Bolshevik capitalist, or in Larkin, Texas, might say communitarianism. Maybe that's how Lark would define communitarianism. I would agree, because what haven't they infiltrated and dominated to this very day? I mean, I almost everything I buy for food has some sort of a Juciferian Talmudic symbol on it. So the only way I see this, Dennis, is okay, I boycott jewelry stores. I have no need for jewelry. I boycott Juciferian theaters. Okay. In fact, I told Lark I'll be celebrating the 9th anniversary this December of being Juciferian Talmudic vision free. No Juciferian TV for me for 9 years.
I know exactly where you're coming from. In fact, the new documentary is called Communism by the Back Door, because I believe we are heading for a communist government. We have a central bank already, and you've got a tax system over there which is central to a plank of communism. The thing is, people will say, oh, it's fascist, oh, it's this, it's that. The thing what leads me to be the communism is the fact that you've got all these left-wing things like what have been going on there for years, like the feminine movement, homosexuality is being pushed by Hollywood, feminization of men, which is another plank of one of the communist rules for takeover. So everything is pointing towards communism, because in communism, obviously, there's still an elite. I'm down that road at the moment.
All righty. Gentlemen, we are going to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes. We do have some other callers. So anyway, thank you, Fred, for your phone call. Be right back in 3 minutes.
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Well, maybe if I press this button. There are
so many things. All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and I am hosting the Corporation Nation for Clint Richardson. I'll be here tonight. I have been here tonight. And I will be back tomorrow night, and so will our wonderful guest, Dennis Wise. So save up your questions so that you can call in. Dennis is the producer of the very popular Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. You may see this movie and purchase it or buy the membership at thegreateststorynevertold.tv. We do have another caller. Let's take Frank in North Carolina. Frank, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Deanna. I was wondering, Dennis, do you believe there is any fear within the Jewish community that some defiant remnant within Germany will ever rise up to take vengeance on what has been done to them? I know you said that Germany is occupied, and I understand that the current president, and I don't know how many presidents before that are actually Jewish, which is kind of funny, but well, not funny, but ironic. But I was just wondering,
Well, I don't think Jews are worried about just Germans. I think Jews are educated to be worried about most of the white race, to be quite honest. From what I can gather on bits of research what I've done, quite a lot of Jews are taught to be aware that a Holocaust could happen again and come from any direction. So they are, in my eyes, a nation that's always on, well, in the mind they're always defensive, but the government's certainly the most aggressive there is at this moment in time.
Well, I tell you, I only did 4 years in the military myself after high school on active duty, I only attained the rank of corporal in the Marine Corps, and I tell you, I can't imagine ever having risen to, the...
I was just thinking that, yeah.
But, I guess my... out of all the things I've done in my life, I've done quite a bit. Some of it pretty, on the yeah. line of, you'd have to be a little crazy to do
sure.
it. I'll tell you what, I think the thing that I'm most proud of is I got Alex Jones, the cutting edge, the truth of the spear of the truth movement, 9/11 mm-hmm. truth, all that, to admit live on this show that the Jewish community is at the heart of the New World Order, which is pretty remarkable when you consider that they only make up about 1-2% of the American population.
Yeah, well, it was the same in Germany. It's how they infiltrate. They manage to get into positions of power, the judges, into government. They get these lobbies in America, which are so powerful. So, yeah, it doesn't take a lot to do that. And they're experts at it.
If you go to a restaurant, like a nice restaurant where you might have to wear a jacket or something, or even just a moderately nice restaurant, and you get a conversational tone going on, if you just say the word Jew, the whole restaurant will shut down. That shows you the fear, the intimidation, the terror.
Psychology.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's psychology, yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you, Frank, for your phone call. We are just about out of time. Dennis will be back with us tomorrow evening, and certainly we will take your calls then. And it's been just wonderful talking with you, and we will talk in 22 hours.
Looking forward to it.
I am too. Thank you so very much for being on the program. And thank you for the greatest story never told. All righty. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye, listeners. And remember to join us again tomorrow evening. Same time, same station. Bye-bye now.